Professors Rajat Banne talking on behalf of Team RDU. So this is our first episode of the global series that we are kicking off today. And so this global series is regarding the sports and the events happening all across the world. Currently there are so many sports happening behind closed doors, like football, then you have F1, then you have various other sports coming up like cricket as well. So let's start this first episode with one of a good friend. Actually, he's my very good friend. He's a Liverpool fan basically. So this episode is all about Liverpool winning the title, the Premier League title. So I have Sanmit Deshpande with me. So Sanmit, you can tell hi to the listeners all across our channel.
Hi everyone.
Yeah, so Sanmit is a big fan of Liverpool. He has been following since his 7th grade, I believe. Yeah. And he has been looking up to various Liverpool players to get inspired of. And yeah, so that's what we will be discussing about Liverpool since the start of this season and how they were five to 10 years before. So yeah, Sanmit, you can start off with how and why did you become a Liverpool fan since 2007?
Yeah, Rajat. So basically, when I joined my residential school in the 7th grade, maybe some 12, 13 years back, it was all about football, like 50% football, 50% academics. So we had students from all over India and Middle East as well. And there was a lot of football following, and we had a lot of football representations in different multiple formats, tournaments. And we had coaches from Nigeria. So they were training the school team and they were also training the students for district level. So it was, you had a very good footballing background, the platform for you to, you know, invest your time and energy to, you know, be a better player in the football and represent the school and make us proud. So yeah, it all started during weekends when we used to watch a lot of football matches, especially the English Premier League. So we had students, basically the fans of multiple clubs, different clubs. So no matter if we are watching a QPR versus Aston Villa match, you will still find a supporter, because every club has its own identity, the blueprint that you can say. It has its own character, the mentality, the tactical blueprint. Everything is reflected in a fan. Yeah, so we have a lot of fans from multiple clubs. We used to watch football matches every weekends in a hostel. You know the hostel life, basically.
Yeah. So I would like to ask, why did you choose Liverpool when there were so many others doing great at that time? Like Manchester United was doing well, Arsenal was doing well, Chelsea were at their peak. But why Liverpool?
Well, yes, it was 2007. So as usual, we were watching a lot of EPL matches, and I guess Liverpool was competing among the Manchester United's, Chelsea's and Arsenal's for the top four spot. So you have the big four of EPL from that time. During the 2000 and 2010, you have United, Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool. They almost occupied the top four spot for those 10 years, basically. They were the biggies of English Premier League. And
to the listeners, the big four means top four teams. Right now, EP, big six, so top six teams. So there's a huge difference from then and now.
Yes. So we have a lot of great players and a lot of great managers who cherish the decade between 2000 and 2010, like Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho and Arsene Wenger. And of course, we had Rafael Benitez, who had just won the Champions League with Liverpool in 2005. And so I had not watched this particular game in 2005, because I started following in 2007. And so when we used to watch EPL matches, I used to use get to hear from a lot of people that this team, which was 3-0 down at halftime versus AC Milan in 2005, they almost brought the game to the neck with 3-3 at 90 minutes, and then they, you know, won it in penalties. So that was very miraculous. So we have a short movie on it, The Miracle of Istanbul. So it's a very special city that holds very big story and the history in the Liverpool's supporters, you know, the end that. Yes. So yeah, I had almost heard of it's all about Liverpool Football Club, representing the club and the players, what sort of players have played for this club and what is actually required. So this gentleman called Steven Gerrard, I think he was among the youngest of the lot when they won the Champions League. He almost inspired the team on its own, irrespective of his age. Yeah. So he had a lot of senior players in front of him. And everybody looked up to him. He's so young in the team, and this guy, and passes on the inspiration to everybody, and he changes it everything single-handedly. He just scores a goal, and he pumps up. He, you know, pushes everyone forward, and you have the title at the end of the night. So AC Milan couldn't believe it. So,
and Kaka being at his peak form, and Gerrard just being. Was able to dismantle the entire AC Milan.
Yes, so you had an AC Milan team which is the legendary team with Carlo Ancelotti and headed by Pirlo, Seedorf, Kaka, Gattuso, everybody. Every legend who you think of that has won the World Cup with Italy were present in this particular AC Milan team with Andrei Shevchenko as well.
Yeah, Shevchenko then moved to Arsenal later.
Yes, so it was in 2007 when Liverpool were again back in the Champions League, and this time it was in the again facing the same opponent in the final, AC Milan. Unfortunately, yes, they played better and Liverpool tried hard, and they lost the final 2-1 to the same opponents. So that inspired me.
The 2007 Liverpool team was a bit of more of youngsters than the experienced ones.
After the Champions League final, we were ready to Liverpool FC was ready to give chance to youngsters. They brought a lot of players, young players from La Liga and Italian League Serie A. So they tried to experiment with those, giving them chances, because obviously to compete with the might of United, who has a very good financial background, and the Chelsea and Arsenal as well, it was very tough for Liverpool. So obviously they needed to find some talents, and that's how you had Fernando Torres, who just came into Liverpool through Rafa Benitez. So we had a lot of great players during that period, and Rafa tried to bring in a lot of players, and then unfortunately he tried hard to push for this team to the brink of the English Premier League title in 2008-09 season, and again they tried to push forward, and they almost tried pushed hard the Manchester United team of Ronaldo's and Rooney's, Alex Ferguson, Rio Ferdinand, everybody. That was a very great unit, legendary unit. And they almost, they got very good wins at Old Trafford. But unfortunately, they had a couple of draws, and that cost them the title in the end. And I must say, the defense was very tight, and it was damn rock solid, because it was a Benitez team. So Benitez had a footprint on this particular team. Benitez teams always talks about the defensive solidity compared to the attacking prowess.
So you're telling that you started off being the Liverpool fan in 2007.
Yes. So that this character of never giving up, irrespective of what your position is, or what you may not be able to compete with the biggies, but you are still making an effort. So that was the fascinating part, and they were trying to punch above their weight and always try to perform a lot better than what they actually are. So this is the blueprint of this particular team. And finally, you had the changeover of owner, and then we had new owners, and we lost a lot of players.
Let's talk about the takeover. I think it's the team from the owners are from Thailand.
No, I guess yes, the American owners, Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
They own
it
was the FSG Group. So they have a very good history and financial background in America. They own a lot of teams, so they thought, let's give this team which has a very huge history and a good background. They have a culture, everything in place, so why not take the chance with this club and bring it back to where it was.
So when did takeover happen? 2011 12 13?
It happened around the 2009-10 season, I guess, if I'm not wrong. During the 9-10, 2009-10.
So, yeah, when you say 2009-10, so again it took 5 years to bring in Klopp?
It took a lot more than 5 years, because initially, when the takeover happened, the players lost faith, some of the players, a lot of great players left us, Xabi Alonso, Fernando Torres,
that was absolutely sad seeing him leaving for rival Chelsea.
Yes, we also lost one of the best holding midfielders in Javier Mascherano to Barcelona. Obviously, you know that all the biggies in this footballing industry, like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus, PSG, United, Bayern Munich, they always try to pick up the good players from this team, because we don't have the financial muscle to match them.
So basically, the finance did have an impact on Liverpool's fare towards Premier League in the early years.
Yes. So despite challenging for the title in this season 2008-09, we had to sell these players because it's the management. Somehow there was a lot of the alignment was not right, maybe from the owners or the. There are a lot of problems in the dressing room from the owners as well.
Even the Liverpool hiring, like they're getting the players transfers, I felt it was very, very naive, because they got players like Stuart Downing and Andy Carroll for around 70 million together. Any damage?
Yes, actually what happened was our recruiting team was good enough to identify the talents in the market, but unfortunately we couldn't recruit them, because all the good talents we lost to the very good clubs, which are during this last few years. We had a lot of good targets like Mkhitaryan, Willian, Diego Costa, Sanchez, everyone. We tried to identify the potential targets who can help the club move forward, but unfortunately everyone had their own reasons, and they chose the Chelsea's, United's and Arsenal and all, because they were competing in the Champions League. Every season they were finishing the top four, so that gives them platform. So they wanted to be a part of a successful team.
Since Kenny Dalglish left, we got Brendan Rodgers, right?
Post Dalglish, we got Brendan Rodgers
amazing recruitment talents that your club made. Daniel Sturridge, Luis Suarez, Joe Allen was one of the very bright talents.
So Luis Suarez, Daniel Sturridge, Philippe Coutinho and all, everyone was picked up during this. Suarez was basically picked up by Dalglish and Andy Carroll as well. And then when Brendan came in, he got Sturridge from Chelsea and Philippe Coutinho for a very cheap 8 million from Inter, because he was. So Brendan Rodgers was Mourinho. He had this eye on Coutinho from that time on, and then he, So Rogers tried to, you know, get him and give him some chance because he knew this guy had talent. So we had a talented group of Sturridge, Suarez, and you know, Sterling as well coming up through the academy, and we had Philip Coutinho. It was a
the talents that I thought would be loyal to the club, but again he had to move to Manchester City. I think the money.
Yes, it was. Well, not right. Well, not exactly, but when you see the Brendan Rodgers era, Brendan Rodgers got good talent, everything was perfect in place, but then when Barcelona comes up and you have to leave Luis Suarez, and we lost Daniel Sturridge to injury, and we didn't have anybody to look up to, because these are the two most impactful players on the team, because combined together they had more than 50 plus goals in the Premier League. That's a huge number.
And if you see the assists that Sturridge and Suarez together had, they were equal to 30, I think. And the way they were
yes.
Playing,
so
playing
yeah,
of
together,
2013-14
yes, so to, yeah, so together they had roughly 80 plus goal, you know, involvements in the Premier League. That's a crazy number for players in the Premier League in this era, when you have United and City coming up as well. City had already won a couple of titles
by the like you can say the Qatars or the Etihads coming in and taking over the City, and then they buying up very brilliant players from Spain, getting in Yaya Toure, David Silva, then Sergio
well
Eduardo.
Yes, that it was yeah, it was a long-term development project, basically the Manchester City. So they identified the right players and they tried to buy them in batches, basically. They didn't try to recruit them in a single season. They tried to recruit each player in a different season and tried to mold this team, which will dominate for a longer time. And that's what you see now. So it's
yeah,
a good basis which is built.
Yeah, players who
yes.
are dominant one now.
Yes. So you see a lot of manager changes at Manchester City, but they still perform better because they have a good basis. So that's very important in this you know, footballing industry, to have a very good platform.
Yeah. So once the 2013-14 season was done, Liverpool came second. So we already know the Gerrard slip. I think the listeners would be knowing that a lot, because that was one thing that changed the entire campaign. But even Liverpool team couldn't get the wins that they actually want at the end of the season.
Well, not exactly. I consider Gerrard's slip as the turning point, because there were a lot of matches that made contributed to this cause. Yeah, so one highlight of this season I would consider is Jordan Henderson's injury in one of the matches, which ruled him out for the rest of the season. And he was the most impactful player alongside Steven Gerrard, because they were working in a fulcrum with two creative mids. And we had Lucas Leiva as a holding midfielder. So that was a perfect mix of
you guys.
Yes, so that was a perfect mix. And when you lose one of the impactful players like Jordan Henderson, and we couldn't cope up with that, and obviously that you could see. So if you had Jordan Henderson, we could have some protection for the defense. So this Henderson was hired from Sunderland, if you don't know. He was hired as a creative midfielder, but he was made to, you know, accommodate for this number six position by Rodgers, and he excelled pretty much well, and he could have given that protection for this defense. And you know, the Rodgers teams, they all play with a high line, defensive high line, and obviously you can see the Crystal Palace 3-3 draw and the Chelsea 2-0. So we almost dominated those games.
The 15 minutes that changed the Crystal Palace match, last 15 minutes 3-0, and
yes,
they turned it 3-3. That was just very shocking to see Liverpool during that time.
Yeah, so if you can see the inexperience of the team, and also the inexperience of the manager Rodgers, who had just come from Swansea City. He had performed very well, but
I believe there was no squad depth also. If you see layer
Well,
there.
no. Again, this Liverpool team were punching above their weight and trying to excel diligently. They had broken all the records. They were they scored 101 goals in this season, PL goals, and it was a huge record. But what actually mattered was the Henderson's injury, and also that City were blowing the teams apart with the huge goal difference. And in case if there is a tie, we wanted to cover up on the goal difference, and that was also a very big factor in trying to score as many goals as possible in the Crystal Palace match, when we could have just settled for three, because you always have to cut off somewhere. You cannot just go and blow teams apart. But again, City's goal difference was very huge.
There has to be game management when you want to win trophies.
But again, when you have City who are blowing teams apart 7-0, 8-0, and they have a very solid goal difference, and if in case both the teams end up at the same points, which is very often the case these days, so we wanted to be very close to them, and so that was also one of the factors.
Yeah, so the next season, Brendan Rodgers, I think, was sacked in the middle of the season.
Not the next season. He almost lasted another season after the runner-up season. So he got a lot of recruits that time. He had Adam Lallana coming up, and you had Ricky Lambert.
Balotelli,
Ricky Lambert, Adam Lallana, everybody were who came up.
Fine was a part of it. But they lost Luis Suarez, I think.
They lost Luis Suarez, and they lost Sturridge to injury, and all the burden fell on the youngsters like Sterling and Philippe Coutinho. That was not a good environment for these youngsters to thrive.
Yeah.
And Sterling was the focal point, and he wanted to, go to somewhere else wherein I can, thrive even more, because I don't want to harm my development. So that obviously every player thinks like that, and he was in the early stages of his career, and he didn't want to ruin his life. We can see a lot of youngsters who have lost their way. There are n number of examples, and obviously Sterling would not have wanted to be in such a position. So I think he made the right choice in leaving for City.
Yeah. And then it was Coutinho, who was the star playmaker at Liverpool. Gerrard.
Yes. So that season, after the Rodgers, so what happened was when the Rodgers couldn't deliver good results, and then the next season again, this FSG gave him one more chance. Okay, we give you Roberto Firmino and Christian Benteke.
Yeah.
So do something. And Roberto Firmino was one of the bright signings, but I don't know how will Brendan Rodgers would have tried to fit him in this team, because Firmino is a different player. And,
he is a different player. He can play a wing, or he can play anytime, anywhere. He is a false nine.
Yeah, so there were a lot of alignment issues. Disconnect between the players, so the Rodgers was not trying to fit in players.
Who doesn't go with team.
He's more of a target player, and he was not giving his 100%, and that's also one of the factor. And we had a new player, Danny Ings, who was relatively fresh in the Premier League, and he had a proven record with Burnley, we just hired him, and he was doing really good with a couple of goals and all, but again he got injured, so we didn't have anybody to lead this team. And finally, when this drew a blank at Everton Goodison Park, finally Rodgers was sacked, and we had already had discussions with Jurgen Klopp, thing in football.
Yeah. So Jurgen Klopp joined in 2015 season, right? 2015-16.
Yes, he joined in the 15-16, in the mid of 15-16, and his first match was at Tottenham away, and Tottenham was really doing good at that time.
Yeah.
And Klopp managed to get a draw at Tottenham. It was a really a good thing for.
I would like to tell the listeners here. Klopp did tell one thing in his first interview, the press conference, that Liverpool would be winning a title in the next 4 years. So, and he has done that.
Yeah, so Jurgen Klopp, he has a very good personality and character. Everything that defines him is very much...
Winning with Dortmund and Bundesliga, where Bayern Munich were completely dominating the league, and going into the Champions League and winning against Real Madrid 4-0. So yeah, that was a brilliant recruitment as a manager by the entire Liverpool club.
Yeah, so everything you know about Klopp, he is very clear in his thoughts and very adamant, and he knows what he has to do. And that's what this club needed, and the owners, FSG, were looking into him, and they almost got what was required. And fortunately, you know, we were not having any other competitors for this gentleman at that time. So it was all about timing as well. So we got Klopp before everyone.
It was the rest of the managers almost fixed to one particular club. If you see Guardiola going to Bayern Munich, if you see Mourinho coming to Chelsea again, and United had Van Gaal during that time, and rest of the managers, I'm not sure, would be able to handle the pressure that Liverpool has.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of pressure on Liverpool to deliver a title, and there needed to be someone who can, you know, keep out the pressure outside and let the players thrive in their own way. And, you know, let's not take the history into account and put these players, okay, you have a lot of these great gentlemen and you have to, you know, make them proud. No, you go and write your own history. That was his thoughts.
So basically, I think in first two seasons he was 6th and 7th in the Premier League spot.
Well, yeah, I would like to rectify that. In the 15-16 season when he joined, you can almost see the impact that he had on the team. This team actually got to the finals of the Europa League.
Yeah.
And you can see the famous comeback against... Yes, so you can see the famous comeback of Liverpool against Borussia Dortmund in the final, winning it 5-4. It was really great. And what's so special was Klopp did that against his previous club, Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, that was outstanding actually. Amazing, amazing match. That night we were actually watching that match when we were at...
Yes.
Yeah, so that one thing, and then...
Klopp. And again, after Dortmund, it was Manchester United. So we managed to get a two aggregate of 2-0. And yeah, so we almost, you know, met all the big teams in this tournament throughout our way to the final. And unfortunately, the squad depth took its toll in the second half, and we lost 3-1 after taking a lead in the first half through Daniel Sturridge wonder goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was an amazing outside
season. Yes, so we almost made it to the final of the League Cup as well, and we lost to Manchester City in the penalties after a 1-1 draw. That was also a great season, but unfortunately we couldn't make it to March in the league, and we finished 8th because we had a lot of League Cup and Europa League commitments, and obviously you can see the toll on the Premier League standings.
Yeah, even the squad depth wasn't at its best when you see that Liverpool.
Yes. Yeah. So you had Firmino, Coutinho, Brazilian Samba, you know, combo, and then you had these Lallana. They almost played. They almost thrashed City 4-1 at Etihad. That was really great. And we again thrashed them 3-1 at Anfield. So this team had, you know, he immediately imparted that Jajan pressing philosophy on this team, and they almost were blowing the teams apart. But again, the next day against the Watfords and the Swanseas, they are again drew a blank.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was some
lower
clubs. This was some.
What they do is they play a very defensive style of football. Just wait, and then whatever comes in the counter, they just go for the goal.
Yeah, so this team had everything perfect, but the defense needed a lot of sorting.
Yeah. So there was during that time, I believe.
Mabro Sakho, you had Dejan Lovren, everyone.
Yeah.
And they made good contributions in the Dortmund match in the Europa League. But again, you need to have a solid base throughout the season. you need to have a good defense to last the whole season. You cannot
Yeah.
carry on with these injured players, because they used to, you know, be injured for some time, and there was not a good partnership
I think there
when
was
you
no
have.
consistency during that time.
Yeah, so when you see the partnership of Carragher and Hypia, you can see Ferdinand and Vidic. So you need to have that John Terry and Ivanovic and a lot of players. You need to have
Yeah.
this partnership.
Yeah. So once that happened, so Liverpool was 8th during that season. So next season, yeah, tell us about the next season.
Well, yeah, after the 16th season, Klopp brought in identified Mane. Mane was actually targeted by Manchester United as well, but fortunately,
Carl
yes.
Left club, and Mane was the main target for him.
Yeah, so yeah, United had the might of attracting any player, but unfortunately, they were also in the same situation, and we managed to take advantage. Obviously, Klopp makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
He managed to get.
Yeah. So the Klopp was like a catalyst getting in Mane to Liverpool.
Yes. So we had Mane coming in. We had Klein coming in. So yeah. So it was a good mix, basically. And,
yeah, I think it was the start of something huge, I can say, because you see, he was putting in, like, selling players also. And getting in a few players one by one, getting them, what you can say, like getting them the heritage of Liverpool, the knowing the history of Liverpool, and then slowly starting his own legendary history.
Yeah, so Klopp is all about training. He doesn't. He focuses a lot of training and development. And obviously, when he cannot, you know, when he has full stops, then he actually goes into the transfer market. Like the attack, in the attack we were a little bit blank. So we got Mane on the wing. It was then added a springboard to the team. You could actually see the impact Mane had before he got injured in January.
Yeah.
So we are almost you know, competing at second, third position until Mane got injured, and then we finished the season at fourth spot. That was very tight, with Arsenal finishing in fifth as well. So they were
yeah,
first time out of this top four for almost like 10 plus years.
And that was the decline of Mr. Arsene Wenger.
Well, yeah, that was a changing point. And that was a changing point for Arsene Wenger. That was a changing point for Jurgen Klopp as well. Because when you buy a player of the magnitude of Sadio Mane, you make some promises to the player. Okay, you make some contribution, we will help you in your aspirations or goal. So when so it was a like win-win situation for all. He promised him what he wanted, and he gave him what he wanted. So obviously, yeah, the Champions League the participation was secured, and it all started off. Brightly, because you had Firmino, Coutinho, Mane, Adam Lallana heading forward. That was excellent. And then the next season, we had the next big signing, Mohamed Salah.
I was just telling the listeners that we called Mohamed Salah as Lionel Salah during that season because of his amazing and outstanding contribution to the team.
Yeah, so when Mane was signed and he was like injured for the couple of during the last part of the season, the 16-17 season, so he identified that we need one more winger of the same
and
magnitude. And
there was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain coming in from Arsenal.
Yes. Yes. So when Salah was identified as a target, there were questions all over. Like this guy has already not lived up to expectations in the Chelsea. Obviously, when you have the talented squad of Chelsea during the 13s and 12s, when Chelsea actually won the Champions League, Salah was part of that team.
Yeah, he was a backup striker to Torres and Willian during that time.
Yes, yes. So you have Lampard, you have Drogba, you have a lot of talented players, Ramirez, everybody. And you can almost, you know, it's a big thing to get even some minutes in the team. And yes. Salah couldn't, you know, he had no basically chance to, you know, thrive in the Premier League during that time with Chelsea.
Had a different tactic. It was more of a defensive tactic, and I think Salah couldn't thrive during those tactics.
Yes, this season with Fiorentina and Roma actually helped his development.
Yeah, that actually helped him a lot. Actually, he became a different player completely.
Yeah, so he was a, you know, out and out winger who is capable of getting the goals as well. He had a deadly partnership with Edin Dzeko. He is a very great striker of Manchester City, who used to play at Roma.
Even he is now a brilliant striker at Roma, doing great for them this season as well. And
so this, so this aspect caught Klopp's eye. Like this, he's a winger, and he can still contribute to a good number of goals. So let's go and get him.
Plan was to go with the 4-3-3 formation, and getting those the front three, having the proper defense line, the midfield line, and then Salah joining the front three was exceptional.
So basically the signing of Firmino was considered as a flop before Klopp came in. And Klopp knew this player from Bundesliga, and Klopp knew Klopp knew Mane also from Bundesliga. He tried to get him from Salzburg, but unfortunately Southampton took him over, and so he couldn't convince the Dortmund board to, you know, finally sign him. So he knew him, so he kind of knows the players from a long time, and he this is a perfect time to get them all in at Liverpool.
So once that happened, you guys had the 2017-18 season where Manchester City blew apart each and every team, United coming second with their defensive tactics, Liverpool then joining fourth with so many errors being made, I think, by the goalkeeper during that season.
Not exactly, but when during the 17-18 season, we were almost competing with City at the top before our Champions League took its toll on the squad depth, and then we, you know, couldn't focus on the league as much, and we finished fourth. Otherwise, we could have been somewhere challenging City. But that was an exceptional season, blowing apart City as well. The 5-1 aggregate. Wow.
That was brilliant.
That's when Pep realized the potential of this team, and he actually made a note of this team that this is going to be the team that can challenge them.
Actually, Arsenal were in the decline, United not finding the right replacement as a manager, Chelsea then slowly going back with their usual tactics.
I would also like to mention Mauricio's Tottenham as well. They were doing exceptionally well.
Yeah, absolutely. Tottenham being one of the top fours in that season, and then again Pochettino was like a proper attacking manager.
Yeah, until the Salah's injury in the final, Liverpool were on the high. Madrid, and
I would like to actually have a conversation on that match, Real Madrid versus Liverpool 2017-18 Champions League final, Sergio Ramos injuring Mohamed Salah is what Liverpool fans say. So yeah, Sanmit, go ahead and give us what exactly.
So when you look up to a player who has had the most impact in the team with roughly 44 goals overall in all competitions, that is a huge number, unless you are Messi and Ronaldo.
That's a staggering number actually. And is a completely different league if you compare.
Yes, so he had roughly 32 goals in the Premier League and 44 overall. So when you see that kind of impactful player going out, so obviously the team will be shocked. Like, how do we respond now? And this is the biggest stage we have come so far, and we have really performed well. And when we face the might of Real Madrid, how do we do that without this player? So this shock took some time to adjust, and then we had the equalizer from Mane. That speaks volumes about the character of the squad. But again, you have the brilliance of Bale, then you cannot help.
And even the errors were part of the losing cause.
Well, somebody views it as an error, but I think yes, you can have there were some clashes with the defenders during the corner clearances, and he somehow got hanged. Maybe he was not focused because he had an impact on his head. So you see that usually the challenges when they happen, you cannot focus.
And actually,
maybe he was not able to explain it.
But he was the guy who beat Simeone Mignolet to be the top goalkeeper of Liverpool that season.
Something that happens when you get hit on the head and you cannot focus, and you have to be able to communicate that I cannot go on because it's a final, Champions League final, and we didn't have anybody to replace him at that magnitude, and we somehow just finished the match, and nobody was expecting Wales free kick.
Yeah,
it was brilliant when something like that happens, when Cristiano Ronaldo versus Juventus, and then Bale again versus Liverpool. You cannot beat them in such moments.
Yes. So all those turned up, and Liverpool was still like the team that was going to chase City the next season as well. So 2018-19 season. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So the final in the final defeat in the Champions League all had an immediate effect. So the very next day, this was the unveiling of Fabinho, another great player from Monaco, he was surely going to be the problem solver for number 6 position, which has hampered us a lot, and the left back position as well.
That guy he can play in any position you ask him to, like midfield, center back, whatever. That guy is just outstanding.
Yes, and we had this problem at left back position as well, and that's when we got Andy Roberts,
the next big thing, the next big left back. I think Alberto Moreno left. I think he was not left.
No, he was still there. He was still playing the a lot of time, and he was sold in January, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. So Klopp never gives a player a chance unless he gets used to the playing style and the tactics and all. If he's comfortable within the team, only then he gets a chance. Otherwise, no. He gives every player a good amount of time before he can,
And even the emergence of Trent Alexander-Arnold, what a player he is. The proper fullback of entire Premier League. We have two brilliant fullbacks at Liverpool.
Robertson, we knew he's a great player, but he needed a touch of luck as well. When Moreno got injured, Robertson got a chance. But Trent, the same thing as well. You had a lot of players at right back, like Klein, and when Klein got injured, Trent got some minutes as well, and they took their chances brilliantly.
Yes, and now they are the top fullbacks of the footballing world right now.
I can say you have the very good combination Alphonso Davies and Kimmich at Munich, and you have a very good partnership at PSG as well. And let's not forget the Marcelo of Madrid and Dani Alves, Jordi Alba of Barcelona. We have had good partnerships before, so it's not a
assist ratios that these guys have provided. Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, they are just a staggering number, like amazing 10 plus assists every season that they have played. That's just
So I would like to mention that from the last two seasons since they have played together, Robertson and Arnold, they have had 44 Premier League assists alone.
Yes. So that itself gives up what kind of fullbacks they are, like a proper attacking mentality.
Yes. 44 in two seasons together in the Premier League alone is a big thing.
Yeah.
So... And... obviously, the Champions League disappointment made them to go and excel in the league as well, and that's when they finished the 18-19 season with one less point, with finishing the season with 97.
So that season, I would like to tell, City won it by 1 point, 98, Liverpool 97, and the main point where Liverpool didn't win the title was the goal line technology coming into place. I have seen that match. It was just 5 inches closer that Liverpool would win the title.
Well, I wouldn't say so, but City were exceptionally brilliant. When you have Kompany, who's a wonder goal against Leicester, can forget that? Yes. So they had players all over the pitch who can make the difference from the bench as well. And every match, if somebody doesn't perform, somebody else makes sure that he performs.
But I believe Liverpool were more deserving that season because you guys beat them once, I think, once or twice.
We beat them once, but
you beat them.
Yes, Champions League we beat them in the previous season, but 18-19 season it was it was a draw at Anfield and it was a win for City. So that was a changing point. No, we didn't win against City in the 18-19, so it was like 2-1 for City.
Okay.
At Etihad and how can you forget that season?
That was an amazing season, actually. City again blowing the team.
So you have, when you have such a brilliant team, you cannot, unfortunately, it was a heartbreak, you know, finishing the season with 97 and just one loss and not even winning the title. Then almost 10 times you would win the title.
Most of the cases, such points. One team would go under immense pressure, but City had Guardiola at the helm.
No, they had the same pressure as we had. It was same for both of them, and
a team match where one day would decide the entire title. So that was just the pressure that both the teams were handling.
Yes, both pushed each other very well, and unfortunately, it was City's title. And the one good thing was when you lose a title by a point and you lose the title with 97 points, obviously, that disappointment will have some effect when you are in the final of Champions League. That was a good thing. We had managed to beat the might of Barcelona, the 4-0 match. Who can forget that?
That was just Barcelona, what we can say, going blank that match. They were literally nowhere, with Liverpool having such a staggering players and attacking each and every time. Lionel Messi couldn't find a place in the match, I could say, because he was literally nowhere that match.
Anfield does have an effect, and you cannot ask Messi to do everything alone.
And even the defense, you could see that goal where Divock Origi scored that one, the corner goal. Gerard Pique not even in the frame, just wandering here and there. So with that goal, it changed the entire tie.
I think the previous experiences, helped this team to come out with such a move, basically. Like the Trent Alexander-Arnold making the difference. You see the Real Madrid, I could, almost emulate, someone like Real Madrid come out with such moments, basically, you know, the taking the corner quickly and, you know, making such differences. So we picked up a lot from Real Madrid as well. So to you know, be a champion in the Champions League.
Yeah, it was a proactive thing rather than a reactive. And Barcelona couldn't even react that.
Yeah, so we picked up a lot of from Real Madrid, and that was one moment the training ground, you know, drill, and it was executed perfectly by Arnold. And I must say, Arnold, at such an young age, he's coming up with such a big contribution. That's immense.
Let's start with the next season, and the next season is the title winning season, and that was this season,
2019. I would also like to highlight the final Champions League final, which was a big big thing, basically. And no, the disappointment of PL was cannot say it was erased completely, but the efforts in the Champions League were finally paid off, and Klopp won his first Champions League trophy.
And
it was the number 6 for Liverpool.
Yeah, and I must say, the night Tottenham vs Liverpool, the match was completely defensive from Liverpool. The possession, if you see, was only 35%, and that showed that Klopp had his own tactics to play each and every match. So that was a completely different point, I can say.
Yes, I missed one big thing, because in the final, when you have in the Champions League, you need to have a solid defense. That, you know, if you have a very rock solid defense, then only you can survive in the game. And when you get the first goal in the initial minutes, obviously a team will try to defend, because Klopp didn't want to lose again, because he's been branded as a serial loser.
Yeah, actually,
I don't know, because
we missed out on giving the listeners the information that Philippe Coutinho was sold to Barcelona in the 2017-18 season. And that's when Liverpool bought in players like Virgil van Dijk, Alisson Becker, Fabinho. All these players getting in the club with the finances that was coming out from Coutinho's sales. So Coutinho went to Barcelona that time to win trophies, basically, but currently Liverpool is bettering him off in that point.
Yeah, in the 17-18 season, when Salah came in, there was Coutinho as well, and there was no Van Dijk and Alisson. But you have Mane, Firmino, Salah and Coutinho. What a combination. They almost blew everybody apart. And till January, he was like the main player at Liverpool. Above Salah, above Mane, above Firmino, he was like the god. Everybody looked up to him like everybody looked up to Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, absolutely right.
He had this, obviously everybody has their own choices, preferences and their dreams, like who would want to pass on a chance to play with Lionel Messi, the best player in the world. And obviously he made his choice. We cannot begrudge him, and we have to respect his decision and the achievements that he has given us actually.
Yeah, so yeah, let's start with this season's amazing
Van Dijk almost transformed our defense from January. And when you have Van Dijk in the squad playing the final, Klopp now knew that yes, this is going to be the guy who can, you know, keep it tight till the end. And Van Dijk played the final in the 17-18 Champions League final loss as well. He almost kept Ronaldo quiet. Everything was perfect, but then Bale is Bale. But he didn't want to have same thing to happen in the final versus Spurs. So now he knew Van Dijk is there, Alisson is there, the wall is pretty much perfect. So okay, why not be defensive throughout the game?
Let's start with this season's campaign. So it was a winning streak that you started off with. So give us what was the change that you could see in this team than the previous season?
The perseverance to do things that you have been doing and build upon that and grow. And that's how 1920 started. pretty much the same way. It was a continuation of the 1890 season, wherein we expected good consistency in 1819. That's what guarantees you somewhere point somewhere near 97. But yes, we had a couple of draws in the 19 season that we want to eliminate in 1920. So that's how it happened.
So how many matches did you win? I think it was 7-8 continuously.
Probably yes, it was 8 matches, and then we got our first draw against United at Old Trafford. It was we were losing the match, and Adam Lallana with his final contribution for the match. The draw itself.
I did
getting a point. Yes, getting a point was not a bad result at Old Trafford, but yes, again they reacted well to go on a very huge winning streak before they lost to Watford away. And by that time, I think the league was not sealed, but we had a very good lead of 20 plus points above the second place City.
Yeah, with Liverpool, you never know. But I think this Liverpool knew that they were going to win the league if they played consistently.
Obviously, when you have a City who can overturn 20 points difference versus United in the 12th season, famous season, the first league title for City, anything happen when you have Guardiola with City.
So that's I think the lockdown started in March, and Liverpool had almost 20 point lead, 20 plus lead.
Yeah, that was a big concern, that if the season is considered null and void, then we could this almost the greatest season in Liverpool's history could be off the books.
Yes, and that would have been an absolute shame, that if this was null and void, then what else couldn't be?
Well, yeah, so that was so everything was in place, the season restarted, and we got a couple of draws, and then obviously the results of City helped us as well to finish the title, get the title early.
Yeah. And that celebration was brilliant though, from Jurgen Klopp and his players. Klopp actually was so emotional that night. That was just amazing to watch and listen to him.
Yes, so this statement he made when he came through the doors, that if Liverpool does have any title, then I'll probably be sitting here in 4 years' time. If not, I may not be here.
The statement he made, or he claimed, he proved it, and that is what a manager is all about.
Yes, and I would also like to mention that Liverpool were the worthy winners of Club World Cup as well, and UEFA Super Cup, with keeping up with the other competitions.
Clubs, yeah,
absolutely.
So yeah, this. We are where like. Liverpool is some 20 points above City. So what do you think is the next goal for Liverpool next season? Because you guys are out of various other cup competitions, but what is the next thing that Liverpool would like to see?
This season?
The next season. What exactly could change or could keep you guys at the top of Premier League or at the top of Champions League? Like, would you want to see a few players coming in, and with Firmino not being at his top this season, but what exactly would you like to see?
So Klopp doesn't expect Firmino to ramp up numbers. So he has made a very good contribution that go unnoticed, like the Jordan Henderson, the Firmino of this team. The Firmino's moment in this last match against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And against the Aston Villa, it was until Firmino Mane came into the match, and they made a very big difference. The moment of Firmino cleared the path for Arnold and Keita to make the final pass for Mane to score the goal. And it was legendary to see Pep Reina beaten at Anfield and giving the guard of honor to this Liverpool team, considering him as a legend of Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, what next? Who would you like to see at Liverpool next season?
Well, we will not be having Adam Lallana next season. But Liverpool will be having James Milner, and they will be promoting the academy talents like Ryan Brewster, Curtis Jones, who scored the second goal versus Aston Villa, and he also scored a wonderful goal like Coutinho against Everton in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
So the plan is to go with the...
To promote the youngsters, because COVID has had a huge financial impacts, and we may not see a huge spending because he doesn't do that unless there's a requirement, because you cannot go and spend 70 million and put him on a bench. We cannot do that.
So apart from Liverpool and City, who else do you think would be competing to the title?
Yes, that's a interesting point. You have Chelsea coming up with
so
Ziyech,
and they're getting in like anything right now.
So you see the lineup is so frightening with Christian Pulisic. You have Ross Barkley. You have Werner coming in. Ziyech, Tammy Abraham. And you have Kovacic. You have Kante. And but I still feel the defense needs to be sorted. But I get a feeling that they can almost emulate the Brendan Rodgers 13-14 season in terms of attack.
Yeah, and apart from Chelsea, you see nobody else, or how do you think? Who else?
Chelsea, I guess they will have something to come up with in the Champions League assignments as well, because Champions League will take its toll. And obviously, they have to manage Champions League and league simultaneously. And Manchester United, one big thing. I guess if they finish in the top four this season, then they will have to play Champions League as well. And it will be good to see a Premier League, a lot of contenders in the Champions League. You have the Bruno Fernandes, who has made an instant impact at United. That's frightening.
Yeah.
You have the Rashford coming back, you have Martial, you have Greenwood, you have Daniel James, who was still very good player.
Trying to make a name in Manchester United colours this season.
And you have Pogba back.
Yeah.
Imagine Pogba. That's a frightening. And let's not forget Rodgers, Leicester as well.
Yeah, Leicester is one such team. They have been inconsistent after the lockdown. But
I would like to mention Chris Wilder has done a brilliant job at Sheffield United, and at the Wolves. So Arteta's Arsenal is coming up, Mourinho's first coming up. I consider Blades, the Sheffields and the Wolves to be challenging the top four right now, very close next season. And I guess if the Wolves and Sheffield do better this season, they can end up in the Europa League next season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Considering the ban on City, if not upheld, then you can expect United in the Champions League almost automatically without even qualifying the top four. But that will again help Wolves and Sheffield to play in the Europa League.
Europa League as well. So I think I will leave you now, because I am sure you are going to watch Liverpool versus Burnley right away. And I would like to thank all the listeners for joining us in our first episode of the Global Series. And I would also thank Sanmit joining us in this podcast. This is the first episode and he is being part of it. So thank you very much, Sanmit, and entire RDO team. Thanks.
Thank you, Rajat. It was a great experience for me to represent some of the stories of Liverpool, such a big club. It was good to share some of the stories with everyone, and it was a good experience.
Thank you one and all joining us. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, guys.